105 in the hymnal, the church, the red book, 105 in the church hymnal, Brother Sanford. Amen. Amen.
105. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These
Years ago, Brother Jeff Moran wrote a song, and I don't remember I know that it was recorded by the Parables when he was in that group, the Parables. They recorded this song that Brother Jeff had written, but I do remember in the chorus of the song, the chorus went, "Why stand ye gazing toward heaven? The Lord hasn't left you for good. He's just gone to build you a mansion." Amen. "With friends in a big neighborhood. So be of good cheer. Don't mope around here. His second return is not past. It won't be the first time the Lord has left glory, but this time will sure be the last." And the chorus of that song portrays the thought that I want to speak about today. I want to talk about a promise that Jesus made to us. And you know, when he makes a promise, it will be kept. The Lord never breaks a promise. I would say that there's probably not any of us here today, in fact, I'm confident, honestly, in saying that there's really none of us here today that has kept every promise that we've ever made to anybody. We break promises. We may not always mean to. We may promise something to somebody and then find out we're not really able, we're not really even qualified or capable of fulfilling what we promised. But the Lord never breaks a promise. And everything that he promises to do, he's able to perform it because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There's nothing that he cannot do. And in the second, or in the first chapter of 2 Peter, I want to begin this with just a couple of verses. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And I want you to remember those verses. Now I want to read my main reading lesson today to introduce this from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, the first 6 verses. These are the words of Christ. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so the Lord here, speaking to his disciples and beginning to prepare them for the fact that he was going to be leaving them. I believe that these things that he began to tell them probably brought great questions to their minds, probably saddened their hearts to some extent, but he was beginning to prepare his disciples for the fact that he was going to die on the cross, that he would be leaving them, that he would not be walking personally with them the way that he had for about the past 3 years. But he told them, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled, because I'm going to assure you of some things, and I'm going to make a promise to you. And so you don't have to be troubled in heart, because I'm going to tell you something that will be of great consolation to you, even though I'm leaving. So he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And here's what he told them. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now Jesus said, I wouldn't have lied to you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you that it was. They're there. You know, we need to embrace God's promises, because he made us, as the Apostle Peter said, he made us some great, exceeding, precious promises, and we need to embrace them. And in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it's talking about Sarah and it's talking about Abraham and the things that the Lord had told them that he would do, ways that he was going to bless them, things that were going to be, that were going to come to pass out in the future. And in the 13th verse it said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now, you know what? None of us know if we're going to see, as Abraham did, didn't know that he would see the things that the Lord was talking about, the things that he had promised him. He didn't see them come to fruition in his lifetime. And we don't know what all that we might see come to pass in our own lifetime. But if we do not see the fulfillment of the Lord's promises in our lifetime, then we can die in faith embracing them, can't we? Because he is faithful who has promised. And I've shared this with you before about the coming of the Lord, and we all know this. This is very plainly told to us in the scriptures that whether we live to see his coming or whether we go the way of the grave, either way, we will see his coming. Amen. We will see the fulfillment of that promise, because the Bible tells us in the first chapter of Revelation that that's something that every eye is going to behold. Every eye is going to see him, and so we will see that either way. But these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and being persuaded of them and embraced them. And we need to certainly embrace the promises that the Lord has made to us. Now, he was talking here to the apostles. He was talking to them directly when he made the promise here that we find recorded in the 14th chapter of John. And this is the promise. He said that after he told them, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He told them what he would do, what he was going to do, and then he gave them this promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. So, folks, listen. For all of God's children, we can embrace this promise because the Lord is coming for us. Amen. He's coming for us, just like Brother Jeff wrote in that song based upon what we find there that happened among the disciples there recorded in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. When Jesus had already gone to the cross, died for our sins, and had already risen from the dead and had already proven himself to be alive by many infallible proofs, as he was getting ready to ascend back to heaven, the 11 were there with him, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And there were two angels that appeared unto them. The Bible talks about two men in white linen there, but there were two angels that appeared to them and assured them that the Lord was going to keep this promise that he had made them. You see, the same men that were standing there when the Lord was received out of their sight, the same men that were standing there when the Lord ascended up to heaven were the ones that were present that we read about in the 14th chapter of John when Jesus told them, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Same group of people. And so these angels appeared unto them as they watched him leave, and they assured them that this promise that he made to you will be fulfilled. Why stand ye gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus, which is taken from you, shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. And so they confirmed, it wasn't the angels making the promise. The Lord had made the promise. They were confirming the promise that he had made that it would be fulfilled. And so the Lord told them, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Now, these men to whom this was promised, as I said, you know, you and I were not there when the Lord spoke these words. It was to his apostles that he was speaking to when he said these things, and we were not there, but I promise you today that these promises are true for us just as they were for the apostles. And the apostle Peter says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption of the lust that is in the world. And now when the Apostle Peter said those things, if you look in the first verse of that epistle, he was writing these to them. The Apostle Peter's writings were to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he wasn't only addressing those who were, right there presently. He wasn't only addressing, when the Lord made that promise, he wasn't only addressing those to whom he was directly speaking, but he was addressing all of those that would receive this like precious faith. All of his children, all of us benefit from the promises that the Lord made to his people. And so he's coming to get us. Isn't that good? I mean, the Lord's coming to get us. You know, the world gets worse and worse, don't it? Brother Jackson already mentioned again this morning, and we're all well aware of this, that things down here get worse and worse all the time. Sin is abounding, and there's always something else that happens that there just continues to be things that happen that bother us. And the world, you know, this world isn't getting any safer to live in, is it? I mean, it's treacherous. And I believe that the way things are going, it's not going to be very much more time till it's going to be dangerous again for the people of God. It really, in a lot of places, it is now. So the world's not getting any better, but listen, the Lord hasn't dropped us off here and abandoned us. He hasn't left us. He's coming for us. He's coming for us, and he's going to receive us unto himself. These men of God that he spoke these things to, they held on to that. They embraced those promises. They embraced the promise that Jesus gave them, that there was a place for them, that he was preparing a special place for them, and that one day he would come again in his own time, and he would receive them and take them to that place that was prepared for them. And he's going to do that for us. He's coming to get us, and he's going to take us to be with him. And I'll tell you what, folks, when he does, we're going to be out of the reach of all danger. We'll be out of the reach of all things bad. We'll be out of Satan's reach. He won't be able to do anything to us anymore. He won't be able to have an evil influence upon us anymore. He won't be able to afflict us anymore. We'll be with the Lord. We'll be in the presence and in the safety of his presence. So, we can press on. We can press on with that hope. We can press on that this mess that we find ourselves in oftentimes is just a temporal situation. We haven't, we're not abandoned children. Our Father is coming for us. He's coming to get us. And, sometimes I hear people talk about things here, and they say, man, have you seen those big, gigantic, unbelievable houses that they've made over here on, that they've built over here? Have you seen that new neighborhood that they built over here on this side of town? Boy, I tell you what, you wait till you see what God has for his people. Never seen anything here to compare to the place that he's prepared for us. The Apostle Peter was present. I thought about this when I was studying. The Apostle Peter was present when the Lord made this statement. If you read just prior to this, he had told Peter how the time was going to come when he was going to deny him. He was there. The Apostle Peter was there when Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." He heard that promise made with his natural ears, and we have proof that he believed it, and we have proof that he embraced it, because he wrote about it. If you look in the third chapter of 2 Peter, you will find out that the Apostle Peter wrote in his second epistle about what the Lord had promised. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." And that's the promise that he was talking about. He was talking about the Lord's promise that he would come again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Peter believed it, didn't he? So do I. You believe it? Are you embracing that the Lord, he's going to come for us? Now, you know, none of us know when. Sister Angie and I were talking earlier about the time capsule that was buried there at Old Union, and we don't know if the Lord will come or not before they ever get to open that. He might or he might not. We don't know, but we do know that he's coming. We do know that he's coming. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he told them a little bit about what this would be like. And I want to share that with you before I stop. You see, we don't know when it'll be, but I can give you my opinion. I believe we'll see it soon. How soon? I don't know. I just believe that we'll see it soon. I just don't believe the Lord will tolerate things much longer, but that's my opinion, because we don't know when he's going to come. But we do know this, that whether we are one of those that are alive and remaining at his coming, or whether we are one of those that have already fallen asleep, won't really make any difference, because we're all going up together. Amen. Amen. If that doesn't excite you, then maybe we need to have another altar prayer. You reckon? We're going up together. He's coming for us, brothers and sisters. He is coming for us. He's coming to get us. He's coming to take us out of this place. And this is how the Apostle Paul said it's going to happen. When he wrote to the church there at Thessalonica, there was a lot of this that they were ignorant of. There was a lot of this that they didn't understand. And so the Apostle Paul, he wrote to them in an epistle, and he said that the Lord would come, that there would be the sound of the trumpet, and he would come with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ would rise first. He said this. He said the Lord himself. Now, you know, the Lord's not going to send somebody else. He's going to come himself. He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Paul said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And brother, I don't care if our bodies have been in the ground for hundreds of years when it happened. We'll hear that great shout. We will hear that trumpet. We will hear that voice. Jesus said the hour is coming in John chapter 5, verse 28. He said the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Boy, I'll tell you what a wonderful thing to die with. What a wonderful hope to die with that the people of God have. I can close my eyes in death in anticipation and expectation of hearing the sound of the trumpet. Hearing the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Now, I know that my voice doesn't have that type of authority because sometimes I just can't get Shirley to wake up. I say, wake up, honey. Wake up. She'll just lay there and sleep. But the Lord will wake us up. He has enough authority and power in his voice. He's going to wake us up. We'll come forth. The Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, I believe that the Exodus, when the children of Israel were being brought out of Egypt by the great power of God, and he was manifesting his power in the daytime by the pillar of the cloud and by the pillar of fire by night, to see that great large number of people being brought out of there, being brought out of that bondage by the power of God, would probably have been quite a sight to behold. But you just wait. You just wait till we make our exodus from this earth. We're going to rise up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with him forever. Forever. And, you know, I wish today that I had the words to tell you how happy that makes me. I wish I had the words today to express to you what that will be like, but I can't, can I? But we'll experience it because the Lord said we would. He said we would. He said, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to go and I'm going to make a place for you, and I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to take you to that place. That's what we have that's eternal in the heavens. I'm thankful for God's promises. We need to embrace them, and we need to look in expectation to the fulfillment of them, because he is faithful to keep everything that he's promised. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't have any benefit from that promise. The Lord will separate. The 25th chapter of Matthew tells us that when this day comes, the Lord will separate his people from those who are not. Those of his people, to them he will say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to those who are not ready, he'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So we look for his promise. And you know, we are taught to watch. I really wonder if we are actually watching. But we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be expecting that and anticipating that. And if we're really embracing that promise, we will be. If you're really embracing a promise, then you'll be expecting and anticipating the fulfillment of it. So we need to be watching for that which the Lord promised us. So I would like for us to have another song. I want to give an opportunity to anybody that's here today that's lost. If you troubled in your heart about your condition, you need to seek the Lord, because if he comes today, or if he comes tomorrow, or whenever he comes, if you're not prepared, You're not going with us. You're just not going. You're going to miss out on heaven, and you're going to suffer eternal torment while we stand and sing.
Number 66. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.